no more, because you start your day with Andrew McKay, the Pensacola Morning News, 5 till 9 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Good evening, council members. You guys are all new faces to me, so it is nice to meet you. I've been speaking at these meetings on behalf of the skate park since I was a little kid, just 9 years old, in elementary school. I'm now almost 16 and a sophomore in high school. That's almost 7 years, which equals 44% of my life.
All right, we're going old school on this thing. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We got an aye from Mr. Wiggins. All opposed, like sign. Hearing none, motion passes 5-0. All right.
Hallelujah. I think sometimes when things happen in government, you kind of like, I think they did what I think they just did. It seemed that on Thursday night, the city council finally approved the remainder of the extra funding that the mayor had asked for the new skate park. The voice you heard there at the beginning was Cohen Thornburg, who's been coming since he was nine. He's been working on this project for a little while, as long as I've lived here as well. Joining us now, Mayor Grover Robinson. Mr. Mayor, this is a congratulations moment, right?
Well, thank you. I will say the sweetest thing is having you back here, so on the radio.
No. You don't get to say that. Here's why. you don't get to go in that direction. I'm sorry, but no, sir. I was not going to bring this up, but I am. I have to bring this up because that is not what you said to Brent Lane when you were on with him last week.
Andrew McKay back in the studio next week. I'm Brent Lane, his colleague from Cat Country 98.7, sitting in for today. It's News Radio 923-850-437-1620. And joining me on the show this morning, it's Mayor Grover Robinson from this great city of Pensacola. And Mayor, good morning to you.
Good morning, Brent. It's good to be on. Who is this Andrew McKay? I know more because
I'm
on the show with Brent Lane. I'm on the show with Brent Lane. That's what I know.
That's what I love it. I love it.
Now, I don't mean to be the guy that catches a politician in an outright lie, but sir.
Well, all I'm saying is I was just falling off the lead of the U2 song which you put on first. But I was going to say.
That does not sound like an answer. Sound like an answer to me. You told Brent Lane, Andrew McKay, who?
I was afraid you may have gotten Wally tipped. You know, I was worried. I didn't want you know, Lou Gehrig to come in there and go on a run of a record length. But I was very glad to have you back. Always good to see Brent Lane.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so back to the skate park. You told me you think by the end of the next couple of months we're going to start turning dirt.
That's my goal. Part of the skate park got held up because of it was all contingent. It's tied into Hollis D. Williams. So we had to go through the plan. That plan, we didn't get somebody selected. It kind of went through. The first selection got bounced. It had to go back and redone by the county. It was not a project that we were in control over. But they've come forward. It's a great plan. The park is a great plan. And part of that explains the things we needed. We weren't going to be able to do this without the amenities that we needed, like a restroom facility. The $700,000 we put in finishes off the skate park and gets us a restroom.
All right.
And it gets us started. And not to mention, it puts in approximately $2 million of the $28 million that comes in from the city. We do expect, as we build out the rest of the park, that we'll get match money from the county, and that money – city's $2 million and the county's money will be used to leverage other monies from, like NERDA monies from DEP or the state or the feds, to finish out the rest of the $28 million it will cost to do Hollis D. Williams Park.
The
but
whole
we think
park
that
project
will be a transformational moment. But it will all get started with the skate park. The skate park's going to be the first part of it.
And even though Upward Intuition, some of their funding has decreased from $500,000 to like $300,000 that they're bringing to the table, this is, as far as you know, this is the full and done figure. We're ready to go.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Excellent.
Correct.
Do we have a construction company selected yet, or is that next step?
No. We'll have to go to bid.
Okay,
we'll
that's what I thought. Okay.
But that was based off the estimates that we had on the stuff that was there. So we will be going to bid and bid out the project here, You have to get the appropriation, and once you get the full appropriation, we can now go to bid, and we can bid it, and we'll see what comes back, and we'll select a contractor, and we'll hopefully get them to start moving dirt.
Outstanding.
But the good news is the design phase is over.
Right.
We have the appropriation done. We just now got to go put it out to bid, and then start the contract process.
Another construction project, we've got a bunch of construction things I want to talk about with you. I know it's not your project, it's an FDOT project, but I looked at the roundabout the other day and I was stunned at how far along it is. It looks like they're basically about ready to lay the concrete down. Do we have a date where we're kind of expecting? Has FDOT gotten back to you?
You know, DOT has been very, very hesitant about providing specific dates. But I think they believe sort of the September time frame. I will say, you know, they always said, listen, mid-August should be about when it's done. It obviously we had weather and a variety of other issues. It's been one of the rainiest summers we've had. And so it's been pushed back about a month. But I, like you said, you've seen it there. I think we'll be hopefully driving on it, you know, shortly after the Labor Day holiday, somewhere in that time frame, if we don't have any more weather. Obviously, that's a huge thing on storms and other things that we don't control. If we don't have any problems with those, we probably can have something, you know, mid-September.
I'm going to ask you a question that, again, it's not your project, and so maybe, you know, you're not responsible for answering this, but I still had the question asked of me, and I did not have an answer. The roundabout design itself, with all of the concrete and lanes around it, has a truck apron interior circle that obviously trucks, when they need to make a tighter turn or they can't fit in the lane or whatever, they go over that, and that's the point of that. Somebody asked the question, why do you need a truck apron where the only place trucks would come from is the graffiti bridge or go to is the graffiti bridge? And I couldn't answer that question. That's a fair question.
No,
do you know the answer?
Well, that's not entirely true. There are other ways that could come in there, but you're right. But I mean, I think you also got to remember you're planning for the future, and who knows what will ever always be there. It's one of the reasons when they build the bridge, what they really have is an 8-lane bridge if they need it.
Yeah.
It's 6-lane right now with an emergency lane, but you never, you know, this is the reason typically when they build bridges, they always build them like 1 lane bigger because you never know what may happen. And I think having that in there is just a faction of just trying to see what's in there for the future.
Okay, that's fair.
Know that it's there in the event that you need something. But, you know, I agree. Our whole goal is not to have trucks on 17th, and that's what we're looking for. I mean, there is the possibility you could get there and go to Bayfront. If something ever happened with the normal exit off the top, you could always use the one below. So there are things that, you know, ways it could function.
And that's fair enough. I hadn't been thinking about the future. Of course, what I'm going to report you just said is that we're getting rid of Graffiti Bridge. But okay, fine. No worries. Mr. Mayor, hang on. Obviously did not say that so much. Jenna, we've got other wins to report, I think. Finalization, second reading, annexing that little slice of property at Pace and Blunt that's going to be the Tiny Homes Project was accomplished on Thursday, right?
Absolutely. And that was good news as well. I mean, it's not going to be the silver bullet that ends everything, but it is hopefully, I think, going to show us a way that it can be successful and a way it can be utilized really to help people from falling into homelessness. I mean, much of what we have trying to address things, people coming out of foster care, and giving them an opportunity to get some stabilization, begin to work, and how to deal with their own, being out on their own in their own, house and things. I think that's a great way to do it, and hopefully much of what we need is some transition housing that works with people to get them started, and hopefully we keep these foster kids from going into homelessness. And if we can do that, that's a good thing. I mean, this is, like I said before, there's no silver bullet to homelessness. It's a bunch of little things that we put together, and that's definitely one of them.
Yeah. for an at-risk population. Yeah, no, that's true. Although I will say, and I know you'll sympathize with me, you've just made the city limits boundary even less clear than it ever was before. But, you know, okay, it was a good project, and it's a good reason to do it. Last thing, and I don't know the answer to this. I love to ask questions I don't know the answer to. The county looks like they're going to be doing a pit study, and I know you remember all the issues related to pits when you were at the county. I don't know how many pits, if any, are in the city limits, but are there ones, and is the city planning to participate in this sort of survey of pits with the county?
Well, two things that I think are in the city. One is we don't have any active pits in the city. Two, we don't do any depositing of any type of refuge in the city one way or the other.
Okay.
So I think that's more what they're concerned about. We do the pits that we have, perhaps the best known pits that were borrow pits that have been turned over to retention, is the one over there that Sherry Myers talks about wanting to fence and make more attractive by 12th Avenue.
Yeah.
And then obviously the one that was by the that we now lovingly call Lake Flynn after Dan Flynn on the airport that was widened significantly. Those are now retention structures. So we, without that, we really don't have any pits in the city, and it's just a function of typically these pits were created in the unincorporated area to really build the road systems in the incorporated and unincorporated areas. So, and again, the ones that were in the city were simply utilized, now into stormwater. Now, the classic example of a pit that was eventually was, you know, the garbage place was Cordova Mall. So that's
really?
Been already reclaimed years ago. Yeah, that's why you have those depressions when you drive through the parking lot at Cordova Mall, it kind of sinks. It's because that was originally where the garbage dump was, and it's been reclaimed, and now Cordova Mall sits on top of it.
I didn't know that. That's fascinating to think about when you drive over that, as you say, very irregular-shaped parking lot. It's not the flattest thing at all. Mr. Mayor Grover Robinson, thank you for not only being on the air, but explaining to me why the parking lot at Cordova Mall is not flat. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon, sir.
Always, and I'm glad you're back. And
too late.
Love having some fun with Brent Lane.
Too late. Thanks for the time, sir. 7:50 on